If you have your Bible this morning, and or however you access Scripture, if it's on a tablet, on your smartphone, however you access the Scripture, turn with me over to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23, and we're going to read beginning with the 14th verse. I want to tell you a little story this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 23, beginning with the 14th verse. I'm going to be talking about King David today. 2 Samuel chapter 23, beginning with the 14th verse, the Bible says, "And David was then in an hold," or in a fortified camp, in a garrison. "And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, 'Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate.' And three of David's mighty men, and three mighty men brake through the hosts of the Philistines and drew out water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and they took it and they brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink thereof, but he poured it out unto the Lord." David realized that it was such a precious thing, so precious that rather than drink it, he determined it an offering for the Lord. "He poured it out unto the Lord, and he said, 'Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this, or that I should drink this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it.' These things did these three mighty men." And I'm going to stop right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads and let's pray one more time. Ask the Lord for his help, for his anointing, and for his divine touch to minister the word of God. Heavenly Father, we have come gratefully into this house to not only lift you up and to praise you and to honor you with our praise, but Father, we have come to open your word and have your word opened unto us. And we ask now, Father, as we read your word, that you would add a blessing to the reading of the word of God, and that you would touch me this morning and make me an able minister of the word of God, that you would put your thoughts in my mind, your word in my mouth. Let what is spoken here today come forth with power and with anointing that is able to destroy every yoke of bondage. I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that as we begin to minister your word, that you will give us anointing and unction to speak what you would have us to speak. Use me as a tool, an instrument in your hand. Bless me to be a blessing to these that are here and to those that will listen to this word or this message on the internet. Above all things, Lord, I ask that you would let Jesus Christ be glorified and that you would let the people of God be edified. And Father, for all of these things, we will be eternally grateful. We will be thankful. We ask them now in the wonderful and precious name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement said amen.
Amen.
So I want to title my message this morning, "The Water of the Well of Bethlehem." The Water of the Well of Bethlehem. The scriptures that we have read this morning are a little vague, because when I read the scriptures, I want to know how it was that the Philistines came to occupy the city of David, or the city of Bethlehem, but we are not privy to that information. The scriptures that we've read this morning do not give us any details of the struggle that had taken place. We do not know how that it was that the children of the Philistines came to overtake the city of Bethlehem and cause themselves to be set up in that city and be fortified by that city. And now the children of God, the children of Israel, are on the outside looking in. We don't know how that came to be. The scripture does not tell us how the conflict started, how that it began, how the Philistines came to be in the city of Bethlehem. But what is clear is that somehow and at some point, the adversary of the children of God found themselves inside the city of Bethlehem, and they had taken something that was precious to the people of God. What is clear is that they had somehow and at some point had overtaken the city of Bethlehem, and now King David and his men find themselves in a struggle to take back what had originally belonged to them. Something that the enemy had stolen from them. And I got to thinking as the Lord began to lay these verses upon my heart and I began to study the word that I'm bringing to you this morning, I begin to think how often it is that we all find ourselves in that same kind of situation. How many of you here this morning, amen, woke up one day and come to realize that the enemy had stolen something from you? Amen. Maybe you woke up one day and you just came to realize, or it finally dawned upon you, that he had stole your joy. And you no longer have the joy of the Lord down in your heart. Maybe he robbed you of your peace of mind. And instead of being confident in the Lord and having faith in God and having the peace of God in your heart, now you find yourself anxious, filled with anxiety, and filled with worry. How many of you here today have ever just awakened, amen, to the realization one day that the enemy had stolen or had taken something that was near and dear unto you? And you find yourself in a spiritual struggle to take it back. Hello? I'm preaching to somebody that's here this morning, amen, that the enemy has taken something from your life and taken something that was near and dear unto you. Maybe you're the only one that knows what that is, amen, but I'm here to tell you we are all prone to find ourselves in that kind of situation. We wake up one morning and realize that somehow, some way, the enemy came in unaware, just like we do not know how the Philistines came to occupy the city of Bethlehem. Oftentimes, we don't really know how the enemy made his way in, but we just wake up one morning and realize, I don't have the joy of the Lord in my heart anymore. I don't have the peace of God in my heart anymore. Maybe he robbed you of your health. Maybe he robbed you of your children, relationships. You hear what I'm talking about this morning. Amen. David found himself in a real struggle to retrieve what had originally been his. He found himself in a fight, a struggle to take back what the enemy had taken from him. The Bible tells us that David was in a hole. That's the King James. Amen. It means that he was in a fortified encampment. David is surrounded by all of his mighty men, and they are camped on the outside of Bethlehem looking in. The enemy is on the inside of the town or on the inside of the gate. And they have made themselves strong, and they have the fortified walls of the city protecting them. And now David and his men are in a conflict and a struggle to take back what God had originally given to them. And it is during this time It is at this moment in time, as David is looking from the outside in, and in an effort to take back what was originally theirs, David speaks the words. He looks at the occupied city of Bethlehem, and he remembers the well. He remembers the well that was by the gate that watered the city and refreshed the city. He remembers the well, and he says, I don't know whether he said it aloud. I don't know if he cried it aloud or if he just whispered it under his breath. But he says, as he's looking from the outside in, longing to retake the city and in a conflict and a struggle to reestablish and get back what was his, he says, oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well in Bethlehem that's by the gate. Oh, that I had a drink of water that was drawn out of that well that's in that city by the gate. I'm on the outside looking in, but oh, if I could just get me a drink of that water in that well. In other words, he was longing for, it's not that they didn't have water in the camp. It's not that they didn't have water in their encampment. They had water, but they didn't have that water out of that well. And David says, oh, that one would give me drink out of the water of the well of Bethlehem. David, amen, he has a longing for a particular drink out of a particular well. He's remembering how that water had refreshed his life in the past. He's remembering how that water had satisfied and sustained him. And when I began to study this, I got to thinking, how many of you remember David grew up in Bethlehem? David was a child in Bethlehem. If you remember the story, how that God had rejected Saul, amen, and Saul is rejected of the Lord, and Samuel, the Bible said, the prophet is mourning for Saul, and God says to Samuel the prophet, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him? He said, but here's what I want you to do, prophet, amen. He says to Samuel, arise and go to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Amen. In other words, the house of Jesse who lives in Bethlehem. And God said to Samuel, I have found myself a king in the house of Jesse. Amen. And David was that king. So David grew up in the city of Bethlehem. He grew up drinking that water out of that well. Amen. I can see him as a child in my mind. I can see him playing in the streets of Bethlehem. And when he got thirsty, he would go to that well and he would drink of that water and find refreshment. I can see him as a young man. Amen. As he was a young man, he would work in the fields during the day, watching over the sheep. And at night, he would refresh himself at that well, and he would drink of that water. And now he begins to remember the days. Amen. And he's on the outside of the city looking in. Amen. And he is battle weary and battle worn. And he is weary and tired. And he says under his breath, oh, that someone would give me a drink out of that water. Amen. Or that water out of that well. Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem. I know we got water in this camp, but it ain't that water out of that well. And this water would not satisfy. How many of you have ever got a longing for something in your spirit? Amen. You ever got a longing, or where I grew up, we called it a hankering. You ever got a hankering for something? Amen. I mean, maybe it was a favorite recipe or whatever. Amen. But you got a hankering for something, and you might have, somebody might have give you a substitute. You go, no, that ain't the way I remember it. No, I would love to have some of grandma's fried chicken. I'd love to have some of grandma's banana pudding. You hear what I'm talking about? Amen. Oh, that someone would give me a drink out of that well, that water. I know we got water in this camp, but this water won't do. I'm longing for something more. I want that water out of that well. Amen. Let me just tell you something this morning. That was in the natural. David began to long for a refreshing of that water out of that well. Let me tell you, there isn't a spiritual equivalent to that this morning, because nearly 2,000 years ago, there was another well that sprang forth in that little community of Bethlehem, and his name was Jesus Christ. And when he came, he opened up a fountain of living water. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. It doesn't matter what well of the world you try to drink from, but I'm going to tell you, there is a spiritual life-giving water that only comes by way of Jesus Christ. And when your thirsty soul is battle weary, and when you've been through a struggle, amen, spiritually, and you've had conflict in your life, maybe conflict with sin, conflict, amen, with the enemy, I'm here to tell you, there is a drink of living water that will revive and refresh and restore your heart. Amen. It's that water out of that well, and that well is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just tell you this morning that the wells of this world will leave you empty and longing for something more. Amen. The wells that men have to offer, the things of this world, will leave you searching for something more. The empty well of worldly pleasure will leave you thirsty and longing for something more. The empty wells of fame and riches, amen, will leave you empty. The empty wells of materialism cannot satisfy the thirsty spiritual needs of humanity. The empty wells of vain philosophy and human theory will only leave us searching for more and searching for answers, and leave us searching for something else. But beloved, let me just tell you something this morning. If you ever get a taste of that living water, if you ever get a touch of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, amen, it'll change your life forever. Amen, amen, it'll change your heart, and you'll recognize that the wells of this world cannot satisfy, but that water out of that well can bring peace. That water out of that well can bring joy. That water out of that well can bring salvation and bring strength and bring help into your life. Oh, that one would give us this morning a drink of that water out of that well and give us spiritual reviving and refreshing in the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. How do I know that's true? How do I know that's true? I've drank at some of those other wells in my lifetime. Amen. I won't share all my business with you. Let me just say I was a good sinner. Hello? I've drank at some of those wells. Many of you know that I traveled in music, and I played country music and played old rock and roll music. I had a group called Gary White and the Countrymen. We traveled all over the United States playing, singing, thought we were really headed somewhere. I even had a little record contract with Caprice Records. Farron Young, one of the old-time country singers, wanted to record some of my songs. I was going to hang on to them, record them myself. I thought I was doing pretty good. I had money in my pocket. I've seen my name in 6-foot letters on a marquee. Gary White and the Countryman. Hey, that's big stuff. I mean, somebody come along, pat you on the back, say, son, you are on your way. But you know what I found out? I found out that I was really kind of empty. I found out that I was really kind of empty in my spirit. The wells of this world, they couldn't satisfy. I already knew too much. You see, David's problem was he already knew too much. He'd already had a taste of that water out of that well. You know why I wasn't happy? I had a measure of what people call success, but you know why I wasn't happy? Because I already knew too much. I'd already tasted that water out of that well. Hello? You see, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. I cut my teeth on the back of a pew. I can remember services where I got slid underneath the pew to keep from getting run over. You hear what I'm talking about? I already knew too much. You know why the prodigal son couldn't remain in the pig pen? Because he already knew there was something better back at the father's house. You understand what I'm talking about? You ever get a touch, you ever get a taste of the anointing of God, and brother, nothing else will ever be able to satisfy but that water out of that well. I'm here to tell you this morning, amen, that God stands ready to open that fountain and give us drink. Amen. David said, oh, that one would give me, amen, some of that water out of that well. I'm here today because of that water out of that well. I remember coming home from Grand Junction, Colorado. My wife was with me. I mean, here I am. I'm a married man. I got money in my pocket. I got a bit of notoriety. You would have thought that I had the world by the tail. We had just left a show in Grand Junction, Colorado. Farron Young was there, Tommy Overstreet, Terry Gibbs. Y'all don't even know who them people are now. Hello? Oh, some of us do. Okay. So I'm on my way home, and while I'm driving down the freeway, I heard on the radio station, this was right around Twin Falls, and I'm trying to find something to listen to on the radio station. And I come across this Christian radio station, and the disc jockey said, we're going to be playing a brand new album by the Henson family. I'm like, hey, I know these people. I know who they are. When I was a kid, they used to come to my daddy's church and sing. So I told my wife, I said, hey, let's just leave it right here for a little bit. I want to hear what they sound like. And you know what happened? The more I got to listen, the more the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. Said, son, are you happy? I'm like, not really. I got a good wife, got money, got a little notoriety. I should be doing all right. Are you happy? No. What's missing? I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. Spirit of the Lord said, if you'll come and follow me, I'll give you a drink of living water. I'll give you a drink of living water that'll cause you to never thirst again. It'll be in you like a well springing up unto everlasting life. I'll give you a drink of something that'll satisfy. You may not have the notoriety, and you may not have the amount of money that you got in your pocket right now. Amen. But I'll tell you what, if you come and follow me, I'll give you a drink that'll change your life forever. I got tears running down my face. I'm driving my truck down the road. I got tears running down my face. My wife said, honey, what's the matter? I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm about ready to pull over to the side of the road and get my heart to Jesus. Hello, you understand what I'm talking about? And I did. I pulled over right between Twin Falls, Mountain Home. I could probably take you to the spot on the freeway and say right there. I pulled off to the side of the road and said, Lord, if you come into my heart, if you give me a drink of living water, if you give me, amen, some of that water out of that well, amen, I'll turn around and walk away from sin. I'll turn around and walk away from the wells of this world, and I'll give my heart to you.
Brother, I'm here to tell you that was over 30 years ago, and I'm still drinking at the fountain of living water because it is real.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. It is real. David said, oh, that one would give me a drink of that water out of that well. And someone overheard him say it. Three of his mighty men. Now get a picture of this in your mind. Here they are in an encamped fortress outside of the city. Here they are, and they're looking in. And David says, oh, that one would give me a drink of that water from that well. And three of his mighty men said, let's do it. What do you mean, let's do it? Amen. Let's fight our way in. We'll get a bucket of water and fight our way out so that he can have this water that he's longing for. Well, let me just tell you that the three mightiest of heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, heard the cry of thirsty humanity, and they fought their way in, and Christ gave his life, and they fought their way back out. Amen. To bring us eternal life and to give us that living water, amen, from heaven. They fought, amen, because they heard the cry of humanity's heart. And they heard the cry of a thirsty soul, and God opened up a fountain there in that same little city of Bethlehem when Jesus Christ was born. Amen. And God made a way. He broke the powers of the enemy. He broke the powers of darkness, and he made a way for you and I to have spiritual life-giving water. Saints of God, if you are here this morning and you are longing for a drink of something that will satisfy your spirit, something that will satisfy your soul. Maybe you are going through life and you have, amen, what people would call a measure of success, but you are empty on the inside. I'll tell you, amen, the reason that you're empty, the only thing that'll quench that thirst, the only thing that'll quench that desire is that water out of that well. And when you get a taste of that water, oh, once you taste and see that the Lord is good, it'll change your life forever. God this morning has a history of supplying water to the needy. Amen. God, I said, has a history of supplying water to those in need. Spirit of the Lord spoke those words to my heart this last week, and I begin to think throughout the scripture. How many of you remember Hagar, found in the book of Genesis? Hagar was Abraham's mistress, if you will, Sarah's maid. Sarah says, go in with her and have a child. And Abraham thought that was a good idea. I don't know what he was thinking, but he goes in and he has a child with this woman, this Hagar. And now the child grows, and God visits Sarah, and Sarah has a child, and Isaac is born. And now there's conflict, and there is war. And Sarah saw Ishmael, Hagar's son, making fun of Isaac one day. How many of you know you don't want to make a mama mad? Amen. Sarah said, you kick her and that boy both out. And Abraham says, I can't do that. And God speaks to Abraham, and he says, oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, the woman is right. You put her out. So Abraham packs her a lunch. And the Bible says that he fills her a bottle of water and sends her away into the wilderness. And the Bible goes on to tell us, you'll find the story in Genesis chapter 21. The Bible says that they've already had lunch, and now the bottle of water was already spent, and they're in the wilderness, and the sun is hot, and the sun is beating down on them. And the baby begins to cry for thirst. And so Hagar takes her son and puts him over under a bush. And the Bible says that she went away from him about a bow shot away. And she sat down and she began to cry and said, God, here I am and I'm about to perish. We have no water. And if you read that little story in Genesis chapter 21, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord appeared unto Hagar, amen, out of heaven. And he said to her, Hagar, what aileth thee? And she said, I'm here because, amen, and my tears are because I can't stand to see my son die. And the angel of the Lord said to her, amen, this is what the angel of the Lord said to her. He said, amen, God has heard the cry of the child. Amen. Now, I think that's really powerful because sometimes we think some of these little ones are running around here, amen, you know, really don't have any power with God. But the Bible said that God didn't hear Hagar, but God heard the cry of the child. And God said to her, get up, go get your son. And take him in your arms. And the Bible said when she obeyed the angel of the Lord, that God opened her eyes and there was a well of water for her to drink. I said, God has a history of supplying water to those that are in need. Exodus chapter 17. The people of God have come out of Egypt. They are following Moses and they come into Rephidim and they have no water to drink. And they are in the wilderness and the Bible said the people begin to chide against Moses. Said, you brought us out here to die. You brought us out here into this wilderness so that we would perish. Amen. And Moses takes the complaint to the Lord. He said, Lord, he said, the people are about ready to stone me. And he said, we haven't got any water to drink. And this is what the Lord said to him. He said, you take that rod in your hand, that staff, and you go take the elders and you stand before all of the people at Hebron. And you stand there. And he said, and when you smite the rock, you take that rod and you smite that rock. And when you hit the rock, I'll give you water. And Moses takes that rod in his hand and steps up before all of the people, amen, of the nation. And the Bible said that when he smote that rock, that the rock opened up and water began to run out of that rock. And let me just tell you, it wasn't just a little trickle, but it was a river of water. It was water enough to satisfy 4 million people and all of their herds and all of their flock. I said, God has a history of supplying water to those that are in need. Amen. Amen. Samson, you read it in the book of Judges, chapter 15. Samson, the Bible says he has fled from before the Philistines and hid himself away. This was after he set their fields on fire. And he is hid away, and here come all of the Philistines. Huge army. And they come to the men of Israel and said, we're here for Samson. And the children of Israel said, okay, look, we don't want to fight. We'll go get him. We'll go get him and we'll bring him to you. So Samson's own people come to him and said, look, we can't prevail against these people, and you need to give yourself up so all of us will be spared. Samson said, sure, you can tie me up, you can take me down there, but just promise me you won't kill me yourself. And so his own people make that promise to him. They bind him with brand new rope. Tie him up, make him secure. And the Bible says Samson come walking out of the cave, being led like a child down toward his enemy. And here's what the Bible said. That when he got down near the children of the Philistines, they shouted against him. They were all happy. Ah! Our villain is captured. And when they shouted against him, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he snapped those new ropes like they were thread. They ain't hollering now. And the Bible said that Samson found the jawbone of a donkey. And with that jawbone, he slew over 1,000 men. And when he was finished, the Bible said there were heaps upon heaps of bodies laying in that valley. But Samson was parched. The children of the Philistines had fled, and Samson was parched, and he was thirsty. And he looks toward heaven, and he says, God, with the jawbone of an ass, I've killed thousands. Amen. And will you let me perish for the lack of water? And you know what God did? The Bible said that God just reached down, amen, and hollowed out the place in the jawbone, and water began to pour out of that old parched bone. And the Bible said when Samson began to drink, that his spirit revived again. I'm telling you this morning, God has a history of supplying water. If you're here this morning and you are thirsty for a drink of that water out of that well, you've come to the right place, because God has a history of supplying water to those that call upon his name. The Bible said in Isaiah 41 and verse number 17, when the poor and the needy seek water and there is none, when their tongue fails for thirst, I, the Lord God, will hear them, and I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and I will make fountains in the midst of the valleys, and I will make the wilderness a pool of water and dry land springs of water. I'm here to tell you, amen, there is a fountain, and it came by way of Jesus Christ, and we can have life-giving water if we call upon him. Amen, amen, amen. Psalms chapter 46 and verse number 40, verse number 4, said, there is a river. There is a river, and the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus said, you'll find this in the book of John, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 37th verse. The Bible said, in the last day, in the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried with a loud voice, saying, he that believeth on me, amen, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, or out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. What kind of rivers? Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what kind of rivers. Rivers of peace. Rivers of joy. Rivers that are life-giving. Rivers this morning that will quench the thirsty soul. Rivers this morning that will change our life and give us direction. Oh, that one would give us this morning a drink of that water out of that well that would satisfy our hearts forever. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. There is a fountain. There is a fountain this morning. There is a well this morning that will bring refreshing and reviving to our spirit. And it is that water out of that well. And brother, let me tell you, when you get a drink of that water out of that well, it will satisfy your heart. Let me just take you, I'm fixing the clothes. Let me just take you to John chapter 3. Jesus finds himself at Jacob's well. And a Samaritan woman, 6 o'clock in the evening, Samaritan woman comes to that well to draw water. It's just Jesus. He's the only one there. The Samaritans and the Jews had no dealings with one another. But Jesus says to her as she comes, give me to drink. She says to him, how is it that you, being a Jew,
ask me, a woman of Samaria, for a drink when the Jews have no dealings with us? This is what Jesus said to her. He said, if you only knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would ask me for a drink. And I would give you a drink of living water that you would never thirst again. She's thinking in the natural. She looks at him. She said, you ain't even got a bucket. You don't have a rope. The well is deep. How are you going to dig out living water? Jesus said, the water that I give is spiritual water. The water that I give would be in you like a well springing up unto everlasting life. She caught it. She said, give me some of this water. I'm here to tell you this morning, like that little woman at the well, amen, he comes to give us life-giving spiritual water. And if the enemy has robbed something from your life and you are in a struggle and you find yourself in a place of struggle, trying to win it back and trying to overtake what's rightfully yours, and you are weary and you are feeling battle-worn, I have good news. Get a drink of that water out of that well and it'll satisfy your heart. The three mightiest of heaven have already gone forth and brought it back. And all we have to do is drink. Every head is bowed this morning. Every eye is closed. That water out of that well, the water of the well of Bethlehem, life-giving spiritual water from Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. If you ever get a taste of that water, nothing else will be able to satisfy your heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for giving the ability to minister the word that you've laid upon my heart and upon my spirit. How we thirst for that life-giving water. The psalmist said, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so longeth my soul after thee, O God. Father, this morning, there are those of us who are here and who are in this place that are feeling battle-weary and worn. Those of us that find ourselves as David found himself on the outside looking in. The enemy has taken something from our lives, and we find ourselves in a struggle, and we find ourselves battle-weary and worn, and we need a drink of that life-giving Holy Spirit water that only comes through the fountain of Jesus Christ. Satisfy our parched tongue. Satisfy our parched soul. And give us drink this morning. Let us revive and be refreshed in our God. I ask it in Jesus' name. Every head is bowed, every eye is still closed. How many of you here in this place would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Brother Gary, you preached for me this morning. Amen. I need some of that life-giving water. I need a touch of that spiritual life-giving water. Hands lifted all over the building this morning. Stand to your feet. Let's share a prayer together. How many ever heard the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink? Amen. Open your heart this morning to the Lord. Open your spirit this morning to the Lord. Just slip up your hands
as a sign of surrender, slip up your hands to Him and say, Lord, fill me with that life-giving flow. Fill my vessel up. Fill me to overflowing. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me drink of that water. Lord, I've been drinking at the wells of this world, and I'm dry and I'm empty and I'm thirsty for that life-giving water of the Holy Spirit. I come to you and I pray that you fill me up. I pray that you would take the pitcher, the water pitcher of heaven, and begin to pour it into my heart. Begin to pour it into my spirit. Begin to pour it into my soul. I cry for thirst. I cry for water this morning. I ask for life-giving flow in my heart. Let me leave, Lord, refreshed neath the fountain of God. Let me leave refreshed neath the fountain of the Holy Spirit with a drink of that water out of that well. Made alive and made anew and made refreshed in the Lord, I pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you.